You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J., TCRG.
Hey everyone, welcome back to TCRG to CEO Radio. It's your host, Courtney J., TCRG, and I am so excited to be making another episode for everyone. I'm absolutely blown away by the feedback from the very last episode that posted, the one that goes into my goals for 2024 and some of the goals that I achieved in 2023 and how I went about achieving them. It turned into quite a discussion around budgeting and finances, and a lot of people requested to have additional resources around this, and I am always happy to give you guys exactly what you want. So as a reminder, you can always send me a message on Instagram at CourtneyJ_TCRG. You can send me an email. My email is CourtneyJTCRG@gmail.com. A lot of you are friends with me on Facebook. If you're not already, you can go ahead and send me a request. I get messages over there. Pretty much anywhere you can find me, you're welcome to send me any questions or feedback that you'd like to share. So again, we're going to start today's episode with a listener question that is a direct follow-up to the episode that was posted last week. Although I already answered this listener privately and gave her some more resources and things she could get into, I wanted to share the question and my response because I think a lot of listeners out there share this same feeling and this same sense of overwhelm around financial topics. And a lot of us went into owning studios or becoming dance teachers because we loved dancing. And the business ownership part is not something that comes intuitively to everybody. And it's something I've come to realize the more and more I've gone on in my career. I'm really lucky that I have an interest in it and have always had an entrepreneurial spirit. So this stuff does come fairly intuitive to me. But I know that just even seeking the information and going through the options can be really, really overwhelming. And sometimes having someone to point you in the right direction or share some experience with you just to cut down on that overwhelm can be really, really, really helpful. So here's our question from our listener. Hello again. Still an avid listener of the podcast. Thank you for sharing all your info. I'm missing a dance mentor in my life, and you're really helping me figure out some things. So after listening to your latest episode, I am one of the TCs who pay themselves last or just forget to pay myself altogether. It's kind of embarrassing, honestly. I think it's mainly because of the way I'm doing it. I have a separate bank account for personal and business with the same bank, but it won't let me send money to my business from my business to my personal. Not sure what it is about. Maybe I'm too inexperienced or dumb to figure it out, which makes me so sad. Anyway, right now I'm using PayPal to send money to myself. I always feel odd doing it this way. Do you have a system that you automatically pay yourself? So again, it breaks my heart to get a message like that, that someone just feels that they're not capable or not like not, they don't get it. But again, this is something that I feel like a lot of people experience and a lot of people feel like this. So a couple of things. You probably can find a way to send money from business to personal. It might be a case of calling the bank or talking to a representative at your local branch and setting up like a unified sign-on for your accounts. Sometimes they just have to kind of link them together under one login credential for you to do that, and it should be fairly easy after that. Otherwise, PayPal is a great workaround. Just to move money between accounts. I know it's kind of weird and a little bit clunky, and there are certainly easier options, but it does work. And most importantly, if it works and it allows you to pay yourself, then do it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Bluevine again, because again, I'm not sponsored. I really wish I was. I wish I had an affiliate link or something, but no, I'm actually just really happy with the product, and I want to be able to help people out if they're looking for a solution, because it does solve this problem. I went into my account and kind of showed this listener what it looks like from behind the scenes, and there's a couple features that are helpful in this episode that we're going to talk about. In this listener's case, it allows you to set up ACH either on a recurring basis or one-time transfers to any other bank account that you want. So you could grab your personal routing and checking account numbers. You could, you know, pay literally anyone as long as you have their routing and account number. And what I do is I set up myself as a payee, And that's my personal account that I send money to on a monthly basis. I prefer not to set this up as recurring, honestly, because I give myself a very, very conservative amount every month. Like, I prefer to keep money in the business, and if I need more, like, I'm not in a situation where I am a partner or like, any money that's left over is mine and I'm allowed to touch it. I can take an owner's draw at any point. So I prefer to pay myself a fairly, very conservative amount, pretty much just to keep me alive, like pay my bills, keep me alive. And then I adjust that number based on what month, you know, we're in and other anticipated costs that I have. So I don't set that up recurring, but I could. What I do set up is a recurring payment to pay the studio's mortgage, because that's a fixed number that pays, you know, obviously every month. I send it over to that account where my mortgage is paid out of, and I don't have to think about it. So I do like that feature of being able to set up payees at any bank, anywhere, and the transfer time is really quick once, you know, it kind of recognizes that it's something that you're going to be doing on a monthly or ongoing basis. So what I want to stress, I think, in today's episode is getting all of our studio owners out there to value their time, because a lot of people are reluctant to use products and services that make their life easier and automate different tasks and projects because they don't want to spend the money. But what I kind of want to reframe this as what is your time worth to you? Because you can always make more money, right? There's a million ways to make more money. But one thing you will never, ever, ever get back is your time. Your time is your most precious and valuable resource. And I just want to give you some things to think about in this episode to reframe that for you. So thank you so much to our listener. I gave her lots of little voice notes and replies and a couple videos of behind the scenes in my account so she could see if it's a solution for her. And we're going to hopefully meet up in Glasgow at the Worlds. All right, so we are going to carry on into today's main event, which is maybe the first of a series. As always, your feedback is welcomed and appreciated. I don't want to insult anyone's intelligence listening to the podcast, but I do feel like it's important to go in order and keep things a little bit sequential. So today we're going to cover the absolute bare bones basics of finances around your business. Obviously, this is an Irish Dance studio owner podcast, so we're going to be really niched down here into a studio owner of an Irish Dance school, but this advice is applicable to other industries and businesses as well. This might be one that you want to listen to multiple times, like maybe you're like me and you listen to podcasts every time you're in the car, and this might be one where you listen to it in the car, but you want to go back and maybe take some notes, or I will even leave a little exercise in the show notes from a masterclass that I've done before. And we're going to cover the ins and outs and absolute basics when it comes to the finances around your business. So number one, most of us probably get paid once a month. And what I mean by that is you either have your students paying monthly in some way, or maybe tuition is due at the end of the month or the beginning of the month or whatever you have your billing set up as, and you're getting pretty much all of your income for that month within, you know, a span of a few days or a week, right, in that period. So being able to budget for all of your monthly expenses, right, or even the expenses that come down the line that aren't paid out monthly, maybe they're paid out quarterly or yearly, being able to plan ahead for those expenses when you're only being paid once a month is important. So I guess that's my first note, is plan accordingly around being paid monthly. All of your business income, so whether it's tuition, deposits, costumes, however you set up your accounts, you want all of that income from the business going into a dedicated business checking account. So you can do this with your local credit union, you can do it with a local bank, you can do it with a national bank, you could do it with an online bank. Whatever is going to work for you is the best option. I discussed Bluevine in my Q&A at the beginning of the show and also on last week's show, because I love that you can earn 2% APY on the balance sitting in your account every month. The only requirement is you have $2,500 of deposit coming into that account As I just discussed, a lot of us get paid monthly. If you put that $2,500 or more into the account, you will qualify to earn your interest. If you are working with a smaller amount of monthly income and you're not sure you're going to meet that threshold, you can also use your debit card and meet a spend requirement in transactions every month to be able to qualify for the interest as well. And as a credit card girly, a financially stable, secure, and always pay on time the full balance credit card girly, I will note, I've never touched the debit card. Don't use it. I only use the deposit threshold to get my interest. Again, put that business income into a business checking account, and then this is your hub where things can come in and out of. Another feature that I really love about my Bluevine account, and I know you can do this with other accounts as well, is you can create sub-accounts within that main balance that help you plan for those anticipated costs that come quarterly, annually, etc. For example, I have one for my estimated tax payments so that it doesn't feel super overwhelming at the end of the year to come up with all this money or even come up with it on a quarterly basis, right? Feeling like you have to dip into the cash reserve that you have. I just set a monthly amount, right, towards my estimated taxes, and I move it into that sub-account that is designed for estimated taxes. So the money is there, ready to go, and I've already earmarked it for that planned withdrawal every quarter. So you could also do this for maybe your lease, or maybe you have wages, or maybe you're saving for something. Maybe you are saving to get new floors or new mirrors or, I don't know, a new speaker, anything for your studio. If it helps you budget for cost, you can make as many sub-accounts as you want and can be a good idea if you're trying to figure that out. So then, right, all our money comes in for the month. Let's set up a payday routine. You're going to pay yourself first because, again, a lot of us think that everything else, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to have the money to make all my bills, or, you know, I'll just take what's left at the end. Or in some situations, if your business is really young and you choose to, you know, reinvest in the business and you have another source of income, okay. But I know you're going to feel a lot better if you pay yourself first. You're going to feel valued. You're going to feel less burnt out. You're going to feel, who wants to work for free, right? And again, your time is valuable. Pay yourself for the time and energy that you're putting into this thing. You're going to pay yourself first. So you're going to transfer whatever money you decide that you are earning that month. Again, you are at the helm here, so you're going to decide. We can do a little bit more around this in the future if you'd like, but if you want a really quick version, you know, determine how much money you need to keep yourself alive every month and make sure you give yourself that plus maybe a percentage for fun money, right? Whatever you decide you want to spend it on, or you need to shop, or you have a pet that you need to buy things for, whatever it is. Now, when you pay yourself, you can decide whether that money goes into one account or it needs to be dispersed among several. When I pay myself, it first goes into my checking account because I need my own personal mortgage and things to get paid out of there. But immediately, once that money hits my checking account, it goes a portion of it to my retirement account, which I talked a lot about in the last episode, because as the self-employed individual that you are, no one is there to plan for your retirement. It's just you, buddy. You're on your own. So immediately, once that money hits, a certain percentage goes to maxing out my Roth IRA. So I just make monthly contributions that will get me to that number. And then with money left over, I highly recommend that you put the rest in a high-yield savings account and allow that balance to grow for you. Again, you can open a high-yield savings account with plenty of different banks. I personally have a Capital One high-yield savings account that I love. I'm already a Capital One. I'm like a Capital One stan. So it was a very easy choice for me to just start my high-yield savings account there. Your savings will earn between 4-5% APY. There's no reason not to, because if you put it in a traditional savings account, it's going to earn 0.0 something, right? 0.01, 0.02, a hardly noticeable amount. And here at TCRG to CEO Radio, we do not leave money on the table, right? Let your money work for you. So now that we've paid ourselves, Now we're going to go back to that business income. We're going to look at all of the fixed expenses that we know that we're going to have for the month. Now, fixed expenses are the expenses that you have where the dollar amount doesn't change every month. So this might be your lease if you're leasing your studio. It might be your monthly insurance premium. It could be your studio phone. It could be your cam if you pay common area maintenance or an HOA or something similar at your studio location. Anything where the dollar amount isn't going to change month to month, right? It might change like once a year, right, as things vary. But generally speaking, month to month, this number is going to be the same. Those are obviously the easiest ones to budget for because the number doesn't change, right? Set that aside. Now what you're left with, go with your variable expenses. These are the expenses that come up on a monthly recurring basis, but the number might change a little bit. So maybe if you have the utilities at your studio, right, your electric and your gas bill or your water bill isn't going to be the same every single month. Maybe you have wages for your staff, right? Those might vary a little bit month to month or pay period to pay period because of the number of hours worked, or maybe there's a day that you don't have classes or something like that. Maybe you have a budget for supplies or things in your studio, whether it's paper towels for the bathroom or it's stickers for the kids or anything that you know will be coming up, right, month to month, but maybe isn't a fixed number. So for these numbers, I want you to look at your range, right? Go back through your statements, go back through your notes from the last, 3 months even. If you have the numbers handy for 6 to 12 months, that's even better. But go ahead and look at that, and you can set the average, or if it's helpful for you to go with the highest amount and plan for that, then you're going to feel like you have money in your pocket at the end. So go ahead and plan for those variable expenses that you know will be recurring. And then finally, we're going to save for the unanticipated expenses because there will always be some, okay? It could be something small like, you get a bill for something at your rented location because a kid put, you know, a hard shoe heel into the wall and it got dented and they want you to pay for it. It could be something like, I'll give you an example that recently happened to us. We were having a Kaylee workshop and we had planned for our workshop person to come in and stay with a friend nearby. When that friend had to go in for surgery, we needed to put our workshop teacher up in a hotel. And that was, something that I was able to do because I saved for unanticipated costs. But it would be something that might take you by surprise if you're not saving ahead of time for that. And then unanticipated costs can also be really big. If you have listened to the show for a long time or you know me personally, you know that the bathrooms at our studio have been like an ongoing nightmare for quite a while. And I'm happy to say that that's fixed, but it cost me over $25,000 to get that resolved. And obviously that is a huge expense that you could not just easily snap your fingers and pay for unless you're slowly building that reserve and you're kind of anticipating the unanticipated before it just lands in your lap. So what I want you to do is, let's just say you have, 10% left at the end. So after you've paid yourself, after you've paid all your expenses from that monthly income that you received, decide how much of that you want to have as working capital. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's kind of sitting in your account, that business checking account, because you want to have it, you know, to tap into if, say, you need to buy something relatively small fairly quickly, or you want to allocate it in monthly budget for different things. Save a remaining percentage of it for just unanticipated costs. You can put it in a sub account, or you can maybe have a different account that it goes to so it's a little bit less accessible to you so that it is true savings. Everyone's different about how they are able to control themselves around money that's seemingly piling up, but save for those unanticipated costs. Another little tip that I'll throw in is I would have to really sit down and add it up, but I operate in many, many different bank ecosystems. So I personally like to have some money at a local bank, not just in my Bluevine, because Bluevine is able to pass on that APY because they are online. They don't have brick and mortar locations. Everything's online, so they pass that savings on to the customer through the form of that interest earned. But sometimes you need to speak to a person in person. Sometimes you need to be able to go into a branch and talk to someone. Sometimes you have something that's coming up that you really need that working personal relationship with someone in your community. So I do recommend that you put that savings for the unanticipated costs into a local credit union or a local bank, right? A small regional bank that's not likely to get acquired by a bigger fish, so that you can maintain personal relationships in your community and also have quick access to that capital if you need it. Because sometimes it can be a pain if all of your money is tied up in an account where you can never speak to a person face to face, or you're just one of, you know, hundreds of thousands or thousands of customers that no one has a name to a face. And I do the same thing with my personal accounts. You know, I mentioned I have my high yield savings at Capital One, but I also keep my checking account and things like that at a local bank so that I'm able to access that money or speak to a person as quickly as I need to, right? As quickly as it takes me to drive there. So again, I'm not trying to insult anyone's intelligence here, but I just wanted to make sure we went over the bare bones basics. I personally keep a spreadsheet. I mentioned I'm a spreadsheet girl. I have a spreadsheet of all my recurring revenue and all my recurring bills and all that just in my Google Drive. I can open it, edit it, look at it anytime I want. Anytime I pay something, I make sure it's noted in there. If it's coming out of a certain account, I note it in there. And that can be a little bit of a manual process, but I personally like to do a lot of my finances manually because it keeps me closer to them. Like, I like to be in my finances. It's just my personal preference. Some people, if it wasn't on auto, they wouldn't get it done. But just a reminder to always at least check your statements and make sure that nothing's going on in your accounts without you knowing about them. So we're going to move to a couple tools that I use to save myself time, right? And get time back, because I certainly value my time. And it's something that I just want everybody to really start to shift their mindset on. And maybe you're open to trying a few of these things. Everything that I'm mentioning here is stuff that I use on a daily, right? Most of the time, daily basis, if not weekly. And it truly does help me keep my business running as smoothly as possible and not doing everything manually. So first one is studio management software. And there's lots of them out there. There's Dance Studio Pro, which is the one I personally use. There's Jackrabbit. There's Mindbody. There's a ton of them. And depending on how you set up your dance year or what kind of features you like, each of those might be more appealing to you. That's something where you'd have to do a little bit of research and see what looks best for you. But essentially, it helps you manage all of your students. It allows them to register online. It allows them to make payments online, manage their account, similar to any type of portal that you log into to do any of your, you know, day-to-day things. Or maybe you have a class pass to something, or you have, I mean, everything has a digital portal these days. It's very rare that we find something that doesn't. And this is kind of no different. And my favorite features of Dance Studio Pro are the online registration, being able to go in and set up my classes, you know, determine when they're open for registration, letting everyone go in and having it all populate in the class rosters and everything like that. A very close second is being able to run billing automatically. I personally set it up so that my students have pretty much a 10-day window always at the end of every month to make their tuition payments. They can just log in and make a payment if they want it to run on a certain card, or maybe they, you know, want to pay with a different card for some reason. They can go in and pay that as soon as it posts to their account, or they can just let it sit there and auto pay will run their account, so they can just set it and forget it. It also makes sure that you get paid every month. I'm sure everyone's encountered a family that, whether it's for financial hardship or just not being on top of their bills, isn't able to make payments consistently. This makes sure that you get paid. And there's lots of different things you can set up. It even lets you set up payment plans now. So maybe you have a family that really can't make one lump sum payment. It allows you to set up payment plans for particular families without changing your structure for everybody. So it's just another, it unlocks some more options that maybe you wouldn't have, or again, wouldn't have time or energy to manage otherwise. It also makes sure that nothing gets stuck through the cracks. It's really obvious to see who hasn't paid their tuition when their, you know, tuition comes up in bright red letters next to their name. And that might be, again, money that you've left on the table if you had to just look at a spreadsheet, or, I mean, I hope we're not still at pen and paper, but if you are still doing things really, really manually and it's not digitized, this is a great big step, and you'll be amazed at how much time that you save. The other thing I use at least weekly is a booking or scheduling service. I personally use Calendly, and we use this to get new students booked and scheduled for their first class. It has a lot of great automations behind it. It'll send them reminder texts. It'll send them follow-up emails or texts. It's very customizable. You can collect payment through it if you are collecting money from them. Like, let's just say it's like first class for $15 or something, or first class for $5. You can collect money through that, and it makes it really easy. And a big part of getting new students is to get them to actually show up. So all of those automations are really handy. Again, there's plenty of different types of services out there that you can look at, but that's one that I really love. I'll mention really quickly that Dance Studio Pro is $45 a month. And if you're listening and you feel like that sounds like a lot, I want you to ask yourself, do you spend at least an hour a week, or not an hour a week, an hour a month handling your billing? And if so, then this is already paid for itself, because hopefully you value your time at more than $45 an hour. You're running a business, and you will absolutely get more than an hour's worth of utility out of that. And Calendly is, you can set it up to bill monthly or annually. Annually, it's like $144, I think. And again, how much time would you spend if you had to send a text manually to every new student coming in the door, or schedule an email chain going to them, or you were sitting there and drafting all of those emails and texts yourself? And if the answer is, let's just go with that $45 an hour. If the answer is you would spend 3 to 4 hours a year doing that, then again, Calendly pays for itself. So I'm trying to just get everyone to reframe a little bit on how we value our time. It's not even about the money. It's just, how do you value your time? Next, some type of CRM or email database. CRM is customer relations. So this is for your people that are leads of some kind. Maybe they contacted you about classes, but it didn't go any further. They should go onto this list. If someone has met you at a performance or out in the community and you have their contact information, they should go on this list. And it's something where you can keep, and it's obviously warm leads because they have given you their contact information. They've expressed interest in some way, shape, or form. And this is your way to keep in touch with them, because although it might have been a no for some reason or another right now, you know, maybe they've got a conflict on their schedule, or they don't have the money for dancing right now, or they have to wait for, I don't know, their child to be old enough to take classes. You want to keep nurturing those leads and keep them hot. And having an email database or some way to keep in touch with them is a huge, huge difference maker in terms of getting those people to eventually come in the door. I can't tell you how many times I'll randomly get a sign up and I'll look at the name and I'll go, oh, weird, they emailed me like 3 years ago. And that's all thanks to just keeping in touch every so often. You know, you can let them know about relevant events. You can educate them about certain things. You can, you know, send them kind of fun emails. And I know we get all so many emails in our inbox every day, you know, and a lot of them are delete, delete, delete. But if it's something that they do still kind of have curiosity around, or they are still interested, they will open the emails and they will eventually come in the door. I've seen it so many times. So again, there's so many of these. Also, there's ConvertKit, there's MailChimp, there's ActiveCampaign, there's so many. They all do essentially the same things. You can automate, you can send, you know, one-offs, you can send reminders, and then whatever one feels the most intuitive to you or is the easiest to learn, I recommend going with that. And those have the same type of structure where you can build things manually, or not, sorry, you can have things build monthly or annually to cover that cost. And let me ask you this in the reframe. Let's just say that your CRM costs you $100 a year. How much does a new student bring to your business in that same year? Because if you can get even one of those students or one of those people sitting on your email list to become a student, then it has paid for itself and more. So again, I know it feels like another thing to add, but if you see the value in getting another student out of just simply sending an email, then it is worth it. Next one, you'll be excited to know that this one is a freebie. A people or project management tool. So although you might not have staff or a team working for you right now, hopefully one day you will. And I think that's another topic we could cover either in the next episode or maybe at the end of this one. And you will need a way to manage different tasks and projects between different people. Before I had staff, I used tools like this just to even organize my own thoughts or workflows. And there's lots of different options out there depending on what kind of display you like. So I have always used Trello. I love it because it's almost like having a bulletin board in front of you with lots of different sticky notes that you can, you know, organize either chronologically, alphabetically. You know, you can plug in different like Google elements. There's so many different little add-ons and snap-ons that you can put on there now to help keep everything in one place and really organized. But as someone who has a team that is getting bigger and bigger, it's a great way to keep work and team-related task assignments or questions or back and forth out of a text, out of an email chain. And I know for me, that would get really lost if it was, especially if it was text. If you text me, never take it personally if I don't text you back right away, because if it's not back to you right away, it's never coming. It's in a black hole. And although my email is the most effective way to get a reply, because my inbox also serves as my to-do list, it just feels like, oh, another email. Whereas if I get a Trello notification, I'm like, okay, someone on my team needs me. Let me get in there. So there's also Slack, Monday. I'm sure you could set up maybe Notion to do this type of thing for you. There's lots of different tools. Trello is free. I don't know about the other ones, but it's a great way to even set yourself up for that type of structure before you have a team, so that way it's ready to go when you do. And then this one goes along with the finance discussion we were having. If organizing and keeping all of your expenses sounds overwhelming, or if at the end of the year you're preparing your taxes and you are overwhelmed by the receipts and statements and trying to figure out what goes into what category, most notably QuickBooks and lots of other solutions are available to help you bookkeep. If you prefer, you can also outsource this, right? This is why bookkeepers exist. You know, you can search for someone in your area or even online to do your books for you. If that's something that, again, if it's going to take you a lot of time and it's something that you don't enjoy doing, then hire someone to do it for you or use a tool that will do it for you. Because there is no need to not only hate the task that you're doing, but take valuable time away from other things when you could be using a tool or another person to do this. So just I'm reminding you to put your business owner hat on, and this is not a place to be frugal. Also, if you have a team, depending on how you have your team structured, whether they're employees or contractors, if they are employees, you might want some type of payroll software. There's more and more of them popping up, which I think is great. There's Gusto, there's Alls. You can do it through QuickBooks also. There's, I'm sure, plenty of others that I could rattle off. But if you have employees and you need to have a payroll software system, those all exist as well. So use your tools. They'll save you time, and they'll even like pay you back in both time and money if you're using them even remotely correctly. A lot of these, you really don't even have to blow it out of the water to be making money back by using some of these things. Again, I wish I had like affiliate links or was sponsored in some way by these products, but I'm not. I'm just really trying to change your mindset around these things and be willing to invest a little bit in your business to get yourself back time. I hear so, so often from studio owners that are doing everything themselves and they're not paying themselves. So we're trying to make two significant changes here today. Number one, we're going to pay ourselves first. And number two, we're going to
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on TCRG to CEO Radio.